Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Dear listener, it's time for us to have a sincere conversation about sincerity. My next guest is R.J. McGill. His latest book, his last book, was called Chic Ironic Bitterness. His new one is Sincerity. Subtitle, take a deep breath, how a moral ideal born 500 years ago inspired religious wars, modern art, hipster chic, and the curious notion that we all have something to say, no matter how dull. Breathe in. R.J. McGill, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
How do you define sincerity?
Sincerity is, in brief, the matching of one's inner life with its outer expression.
The matching of one's inner life with its outer expression. A kind of consistency between word and deed.
A consistency between word and deed, and a perception by others that they're not just being used in some way, that they're being dealt with, sort of the two hearts are tethered together, that you're really doing inwardness on both sides in a way.
You trace the birth of sincerity as a moral idea to 500 years ago. In fact, it didn't even exist as a word pertaining to humans, you tell us, until 1533, when it was used to refer to someone who was honest and straightforward. But we didn't have the notion of sincerity in biblical times or in ancient Greece.
It did exist in biblical times and in ancient Greece. It just wasn't so lionized, I think, as it was as it began to be during the Reformation. So people like Martin Luther and John Calvin and this minor figure you mentioned, John Frith, who uses the word for the first time in English in 1533 to describe a dead Oxford scholar as someone who lived a sincere life, honest and straightforward. And this value becomes, during the Reformation, incredibly important because it was a way to skirt the authority of the church, and it was a way for believers to be thrown back on themselves to refer to their own consciences and to find out if what they were doing in the church really accorded with the things they actually believed, because many people began to see, for a number of reasons, that the church authority had sort of gotten further and further away from the basic spiritual needs of lots of people. And people like Luther and these other reformers were angry that this original Christian message had been distorted. And their way to get back to that was through emphasizing this virtue of sincerity.
So it goes along with Protestantism, but also if it was 500 years ago, the beginning of the Renaissance, it also comes, I guess, with the rise of individual autonomy, the individual as the moral actor in society more than the church, or more relatively more than it used to be.
That's 100% right. Yep. The individual comes at the same time as the sincerity virtue begins to be sort of trumpeted, with the importance increasingly recognized because of the Reformation that each individual was equal. And this had to do with theological import of this Reformation message, which was every man a king.
Is sincerity the same as earnestness?
Yeah, pretty well. Earnestness seems more of a description of how one goes about doing something in earnest. But yeah, I mean, they're essentially
Is irony the opposite of sincerity?
I think that irony, it sounds like it's the opposite of sincerity, because irony relays meaning by doing the opposite of what it seems like it's doing. What I found doing this research and also the book previous that you mentioned is that irony, when used by satire, actually is charged with the sort of deed to protect sincerity by piercing sort of pretensions and so forth in an ironic way.
Jon Stewart, Stephen Colbert.
For example.
So trying to make very earnest or sincere points about right and wrong through irony.
Exactly. And that's its power, really. That's irony's power. That's the power of Stewart and Colbert, and the genius of Comedy Central generally is it looks like comedy, but it really functions as very serious moral and political and social criticism. And I would argue that when irony is charged with the task of conveying these sincere moral points, it's sort of the most honest thing we have going, you know, for lots of, you know, critically intelligent people everywhere. These guys get to the most serious things through joking about it.
Indeed. But you see ambivalence about sincerity in our society today. What's the ambivalence?
I think that we look for it too much. And part of what this book traces is the history of why Americans are so obsessed with sincerity, more than other nations. And I say that only because I've been living in Berlin, Germany for about a decade. And I began to notice that political life in Germany and maybe in other European countries, but specifically in Germany, sincerity is not demanded of public figures. They're allowed to maintain a distance, a mask, a political mask, a social mask. There's a performance. Everyone knows it's a performance, and there's an inherent agreement that there can be this distance. And in America, it
seems, Mitt Romney would do better there than he's doing here.
Perhaps. Well, we'll see. He's there.
Yes.
He's there now. But it's interesting that that Americans, for one reason or another, are obsessed with trying to get underneath this mask because that's where we believe the real person lies, and we disallow for that distance. And I think that that's harmful, actually, to us generally.
What's the value that they see in allowing that mask to be worn and not judge it?
In Europe, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a job, essentially. I mean, if you're a politician, you're kind of like an electrician. You're hired to do something technocratic, run a state. You're not there to be someone's friend. You're not to be their buddies. People don't want to go out and have a beer with you.
Moral leader.
You're a leader. You're there for a job. It's not, and we somehow repeatedly, maybe over the last couple decades, increasingly so, seem obsessed with trying to feel close to our politicians. And that's really a misplaced – that's the ambivalence. That's a misplaced demand, I think.
To some of the things in your subtitle, what would sincerity have to do with modern art or – hipster chic? We had a guest recently decrying hipness as fundamentally insincere because it mocks society rather than tries to be constructive.
I would agree with that guest to an extent, but there really is a lineage that goes from this Protestant stuff. They're not separate things. There is just one big arc, as I say it, that goes from this Protestant push to be sincere during the later Enlightenment with a figure like Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who was a writer, a French writer, who thought that civilization made people corrupt and bad, and that originally, at the root, people were good, and society made them into horrible people. This assumption starts pretty much the rationale of a movement called Romanticism, which happens both in Europe and in America, and the underlying modus of Romanticism on both continents is that the individual stays at the center. This pure, unadulterated self should express him or herself into the world in order to cure society of its insincerity and inauthenticity.
And that's Rousseau, who wrote about child rearing but abandoned his children. Rousseau?
That's correct. For example, so he's kind of became a figure of folly for lots of French Enlightenment philosophers. But he was deadly earnest, and that's where sincerity becomes this not entirely convincing mode. Is this guy thought he was the most sincere person ever, but the facts with his life just didn't square with that ideal.
And modern art, I think of, say, Picasso or John Cage as exploding what people considered the usual sincere order of things. So what was sincere about them?
The logic of this argument from Rousseau onward through Romanticism to people like to Cage and Picasso is that and this piggybacks on an argument made by Clement Greenberg in the 1940s actually was that art is an illusion, right? I mean, we try to find truths about the human condition, about society, about human life, etc., through the illusion that art offers us. And the argument that Greenberg starts to make in the 1940s is that art starts to admit that really what it is an illusion. It's just paint. And what it physically is just paint on canvas. So we lose three-dimensional space, for example, in someone like Picasso and Braque and the other modern artists. And this is seen as a step towards a more sincere art, a more honest art that has stopped hosting illusions within its frame. And that continues up into, if you follow the logic, up until the early 60s, where an artist named Ed Reinhardt, Abstract Expressionist, just paints black paint on canvas. And he calls it basically the last paintings because they're sincerity itself.
I want to use a clip before we run out of time because you open your book with an anecdote about a 2010 television interview between Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck, where they talk about how difficult it is for voters to put their trust in politicians. And Palin blames it on lack of sincerity.
We have a fallen world, and mankind has fallen, and we can never put... I don't believe that we were created to be able to put our faith wholly, solely, except for our spouse, in another person, certainly not in a politician. I don't believe that... except, you know, looking back on our founding fathers and seeing the sincerity there, the genuine love that they had of country, I don't think in recent days we can find too many of those politicians.
So that's that quest that you think is illusory, wanting to connect personally with the politicians rather than just seeing if they can do a good job.
Correct.
Last thing, and again back to the subtitle, that sincerity gave us, quote, the curious notion that everyone has something to say, no matter how dull. Are you making fun of the idea that everyone has something to say?
Yes, because lots of people have only boring things to say. And we shouldn't really care about those things, because what's important is people that have maybe trained hard to do something, have acquired a skill or a technique, or they've studied, etc. Those things are worthwhile, but the logic of sincerity, again, throughout the book and through modern art and hipster chic and so forth, is that ultimately, as long as what you're doing is sincere, then it's valuable. And that seems like the lowest common denominator for creating an interesting culture.
But forgive me for being earnest, but I think in a democracy, everyone does have something to say, at very least about their own experience. Why add the notion of no matter how dull? That's an infotainment notion.
I guess it is an infotainment notion, but culture isn't a democracy. Culture celebrates what's good and best.
So you're separating culture from politics.
Yep.
In that respect.
I am, yes.
And there we leave it with R.J. McGill, author of the new book, Sincerity, How a Moral Ideal Born 500 Years Ago Inspired Religious Wars, Modern Art, Hipster Chic, and the Curious Notion That We All Have Something to Say No Matter How Dull. I sincerely thank you for a great conversation.
I sincerely thank you for letting me be here. Thanks, Brian.
Brian Mira, WNYC.